We want to bring you the story now of a woman who was part of what can probably be best described as an experimental Catholic community that at one time was thriving in Cambridge. St. Benedict's Center, a sequestered Catholic community started with a few dozen members and a stated mission to, quote, create a pure-hearted community. Our next guest grew up in that community, but Patricia Walsh Chadwick was forced out during the 1960s at age 17, sent out into the world having never read a newspaper or made a phone call. Patricia Chadwick has described these experiences in her new memoir, and she's with us in studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
So I'm wondering, can you first just very briefly explain the center, as it was called, and how it started by Leonard Feeney, an excommunicated priest?
Well, in fact, it was started in 1940 by Catherine Clark, and she brought Leonard Feeney in several years later. And at that time, he was not excommunicated. He was a very popular priest, and he was a poet and a lecturer and a writer. And he led the community. And in the late 40s, he took a very doctrinaire view towards one dogma of the Catholic faith, which said that in order to get to heaven, you had to be Catholic. And that did not sit well with the diocese. And so they asked him to please refrain. He refused. My father, who was teaching at Boston College at the time, also refused to refrain. And my father found himself fired, along with several other professors. And Leonard Feeney ultimately told that he could no longer have his priestly functions in Boston.
And your mother?
My mother married my father at the time that the consternation was rising. And by the time my father was fired, I was 7 months old. I was their first child.
I see. And so then this community forms of like-minded individuals who believe in this sort of uniform idea of following this Catholic doctrine.
That is correct. Right. And when my father lost his job, as did several others, it was just at the time that they created what they called the Slaves of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which was the religious community. It had about 60 adults and eventually 39 children who were born to the 12 couples that were part of it.
Right.
And then we lived in Cambridge in a kind of stockade-surrounded group of seven houses, and we were basically not allowed out into the public. Our parents all had their names changed, all the adults, so I called my mother Sister Elizabeth Ann and my father Brother James Aloysius. And at the age of six, I and two of my younger sister and brother, were separated from our parents, and as were all children that were 3 years of age and older, and kind of raised dormitory style by one of the grown women who was called an angel. My parents still lived around there, but in a separate space, and then they were coerced into taking vows of celibacy. And a couple of years later, when we all moved out to Still River, Massachusetts, we really became a monastic environment, and I wasn't allowed to speak to my parents anymore.
Mm. But then at 17, you were exiled. Why?
I was exiled because it was quite evident to Sister Catherine, everybody was now brother and sister about that time, that I was not going to make the good nun that she was trying to train me into being. All 39 children had been told by Father Feeney and Sister Catherine that we were specially selected by God to be dedicated to him for our entire lives. But as nature would have it, and as God would have it, I fell into a series of crushes that Sister Catherine could do nothing to control, and so she banished me.
And then what did you do?
I had to start from the bottom.
Did you have to support yourself?
I did. Mm-hmm. She allowed me to go to a secretarial school, having made me refuse to go to the two colleges that I had been accepted at, and those colleges were in order for our school to become accredited. And I went to a secretarial school, and from there I became a receptionist and started at the bottom rung of a brokerage firm, and that took me up to Wall Street.
Wow. Wow. So you dedicate this book to your parents, even though your parents pretty much cut off contact with you.
My parents allowed to happen what Father Feeney and Sister Catherine wanted to have happen. That being said, I knew through this entire period that they loved me. I always felt that we were in it together and that they had not chosen this. My father, even though we were not allowed to speak to each other, my father would wiggle his little pinky at me and my siblings if he just was passing us. He and I would also agree to meet very quietly on his birthday and my birthday. We didn't celebrate birthdays. And so we would find each other in some way, and he would say, whisper, "Happy birthday, my little princess." And that was the name that he had for all four of his daughters. And I tell you, that glue was so powerful. It would keep me and sustain me for weeks on end because I really wasn't allowed to talk to him, but for about 45 minutes every 4 or 5 months.
But, and you're still Catholic.
I consider myself to be Catholic. I may not be what people consider the most ardent or staunchest Catholic, but I am Catholic, yes.
And now Leonard Feeney, the excommunicated priest who started the center, he really was criticized also later on for being anti-Semitic and other things. I mean, how did you deal with that, especially once you were out of the that environment?
The environment was particularly anti-Semitic. And as a child, I couldn't comprehend it because the Jews had killed Jesus 2,000 years ago, and I couldn't quite understand why Jews today were so evil. But I came out of the center with a lot of biases, and it took me engaging with wonderful Jewish people to realize how hideous that description of Jewish people had been. And today I have some of the most wonderful friends are Jewish, not surprisingly. I mean, it's a whole world of Wall Street that I grew up in has so many, and it was just an easy thing to be released of.
You don't harbor resentment toward the center or either? Or if not your parents, what about the center?
Well, the center, in my mind, the leader was Sister Catherine. I think Father became a weaker figure. And it's very interesting. I mean, she died 2 years after she kicked me out. And after that, the place started to fall apart a bit. But I sometimes would like to think that I'm really not angry with her today. It's been a long time. I would just love to ask her, what could have happened in your past that made you feel that this was the way children should be raised?
What do you hope comes from your book?
I would love my book to be seen as not a Mommy Dearest story, but the story of a family that loved each other and whose love could not be broken. It's also a story of resilience, and it's a story of not only surviving, but thriving.
But what about these kinds of communities that grow up? Some people might call them cults, right? What about these communities? Are you saying something there as well?
I think each one is very, very different. But I can only tell you one cute story. When Waco, Texas, when that huge event went on in the 1990s and the government was coming in and unfortunately they were all perished, I remember feeling one with them behind that stockade fence that they had there. So there are some similarities. But to me, one of the issues is that one has to be careful about power corrupting.
All right. Patricia Chadwick, author of the new memoir, Little Sister. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.